Small technical glitch. We will be back up in just a second. Again, I apologize for the technical glitch. We'll be up in about 4 seconds.
Hello, this is Dave, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading from Buffalo Rising on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. This piece is from August 14th. People have spoken. We want trains. The crowds that gathered north of the Buffalo River to see the big boy arrive in June could hear the ginormous steam engine long before they could see it. They could hear its steam whistle echoing through the South Buffalo rail yards. They could hear it as it approached the lift bridges over the river that are immortalized in Charles Birchfield's painting Black Iron. Finally, they got their first glimpse of it through the bridge trusses, and hundreds of cameras began clicking, at least to the extent that cameras still click these days. Proudly and loudly, Union Pacific 4014, the largest operating locomotive in the world, steamed past the hundreds of eyes and lenses focused on it. The piercing sound of its whistle and the thundering dynamics of its mechanics made it felt and heard as well as seen. For days after seeing the big boy on all 3 days of its visit to the Buffalo Metro, I was still hearing that sound. After 2 months later, I'm still thinking about the immense crowds that turned out to see the locomotive inbound, outbound, and on display at Norfolk Southern's Bison Yard in Sloan. This was among the longest days on the eastern leg of Big Boy's coast-to-coast tour, which ended last month. Shuttle bus counts pegged the crowd at the public display at 28,000. Having been in that crowd myself, I believe the number. So coupled with the thousands who watched the train inbound and outbound, well over 30,000 saw the Big Boy in the region. Over 30,000. Who was in those ginormous crowds drawn by the ginormous train? All ages, for one, especially kids and kids at heart, and not just locals from around the region. I talked with people from out of state and even out of country who came here to see the train. There was no shortage of rail fans, and really, who wasn't a rail fan when Big Boy was in town? And plenty of described foamers who actually chase trains and photograph trains the way paparazzi chase movie stars. It was a ginormous object lesson in what we already know. People love trains. They'll also go a long distance to see trains, and they will spend lots of money to see trains. It also raises the question, given our region's rich rail heritage, do we really need a celebrity visiting like Big Boy to get people to show up? We actually have plenty of trains, old and new, working and non-working, right here in the region. Couldn't we use them to attract crowds and their money? What about Western New York's own rail heritage offerings? That actually happened 4 decades ago. In 1984, the enormous Railroads on Parade event was organized by then-young Western New York Railway Historical Society. The former president of that organization, the late Ron Dukearm, described the event thus. On September 15th and 16th, 1984, Western New York Railway Historical Society sponsored a major railroad exhibition at the Bethlehem Steel Lackawanna plant. We used the entire north yard of the plant and the large structural repair shop for displays. Amtrak also brought an entire passenger train consisting of a locomotive, diner, coach, sleeper, and dinette. Bethlehem Steel and the South Buffalo Railway displayed both their standard and narrow gauge equipment. This included Elko S2s, S4s, ladle cars, torpedo cars, slag cars, snow plows, and narrow gauge locomotives and rolling stock. This was the first and last time this equipment could be viewed and photographed by the public. Much of this equipment was scheduled to be transferred, sold, or scrapped. We also had some of our society cars on display as well. In all, we had 50 pieces of equipment and perhaps the greatest assortment of rail cars ever seen in one setting. In addition, there were displays by the NFTA, Via Rail, several local short line railroads, and a dozen historical societies and various railroad industries. Railroads on Parade showed that right here in Western New York, which was once the nation's second largest rail hub, have no shortage of offerings for rail fans and rail buffs and families looking for something interesting. We have amazing settings like the picturesque lift bridges over the Buffalo River, the Buffalo Central Terminal, and large rail yards rumbling with activity around the clock. With several operating railroads still converging on Buffalo, you can get glimpses of trains and hear the sound of train whistles in neighborhoods all around the city. As mentioned above, in addition to their ardor for trains, rail fans bring money. Studies show, yes, the economic impact can be so significant that many communities across the country have established rail fan parks or rail fan platforms that provide safe, welcoming places to watch trains. Most are simple, but some feature elevated platforms, shelters, restrooms, water fountains, and even scanners tuned to the frequency used by the local railroad to discuss train movements. The only one in our region so far is in Westfield in Chautauqua County. So why not Buffalo? On my way home from seeing the big boy at the Norfolk Southern Bison Yard, I passed the CXS Frontier Yard and saw a lineup of people watching and photographing the yard trains at work. Stopping to chat, I learned that they were from all outside the region and even the country, but had come to town to see the big boy and were squeezing in some additional rail fanning. I was intrigued that even though they were from out of town, they know exactly where to go in Buffalo to have the best chance to see railroading going on. If we made that experience a little easier and friendlier and even promoted it, how many more would visit and visit more often? As for seeing old locomotives and other heritage rolling stock, we don't have to wait years or decades between major events like railroads on parade or occasional visits by celebrities like the big boy. We actually have plenty of heritage rolling stock collected in the region, although that isn't widely known because most of it is squirreled away on rusty sidings in obscure railroads, rail yards here and there. According to local rail buffs, there could be as many as 100 pieces of heritage rolling stock and rail equipment around the region, including freight cars, tank cars, track cars, passenger cars, cabooses, or do you say cabise, equipment like cranes and rail snowplows. The locomotives have many types, including several steam engines, which, as the visit of Big Boy demonstrated conclusively, there are the charismatic megafauna of rail heritage, much of it waiting for a permanent home. Some of this rolling stock does have more visibility displayed outside of the many depot museums found all around the region. These depot museums are fun to visit and generally run by dedicated volunteers. Some of them are also jumping off points for excursion rail operations where you can actually take an old-fashioned train ride. Buffalo Rising had an article 5 years about a visit to the Attica and Arcade that gives a good idea of the experience. Western New York seems to have an exceptional number of such depot museums and rail excursions. So with our region's extensive railroad history, our still active railroading present, and extensive coalition of heritage rolling stock, depot museums, excursion rail opportunities, and last, certainly not least, a dedicated volunteer corps of rail buffs, why can't we leverage all of that to draw large numbers to Buffalo and Western New York year-round, year after year, instead of only once in a blue moon? Why aren't we a rail heritage mecca? Where is Buffalo's big rail heritage draw? The answer seems to me that we haven't yet been able to create the big draw, a rail museum of statewide and even national significance. But over the years, that goal has proven elusive, and much of that heritage rolling stock remains parked and stored at several locations around the region. In fact, while waiting at the Heritage Discovery Center for the big boy to arrive, I noticed that Western New York Railroad Heritage Society had display boards showing some of their rolling stock because it is stored off-site, some of which can be seen in the photo gallery at the end of this article. I talked about this with old friend Mark Lewandowski, former board chair of the Central Terminal Restoration Corporation and current trustee of the Western New York Railroad Historical Society. He told me that having scattered sites creates challenges for maintenance, restoration, and security, although they plan to lay several tracks side by side behind their parking lot so more of their rolling stock can be consolidated there from other sites. Western New York came closest to that goal a decade and a half ago when the buildings at the old Buffalo Color Plant on Lee Street became available after Ontario Specialty took over the site. All of this was announced in 2010 at a big event with the mayor, county executive, state senator, and even a guest steam engine, as Buffalo Rising reported. Plans advanced even further in 2013 with an architectural project by the UB School of Architecture and Planning, which I saw presented at the Heritage Discovery Center. That work explored reuse of the soaring spaces of the powerhouse and acres of surrounding site for a railroad major rail museum. There was even a 3D fly-through at the proposed space. Clearly, this would have been a rail museum that went far beyond regional significance. From the get-go, if constructed, it would have been the most significant rail museum in the state and even notable at the national level. At the time, everything seemed to be on track to move forward. Western New York Railroad Historical Society just needed to raise six figures to exercise their option on the cold storage plant and powerhouse. Ontario Specialty demolished the cold storage plant and transmogrified the rest of the site into the powerhouse by Rich Entertainment Group. It's no secret that in Buffalo and Western New York, we have a hard time preserving our heritage, so much so that the most common story heading here is Wrecking Buffalo. Remember the Canadiana? My friend Steph Perry possesses a kind of sublime anger that she directed toward this phenomena a decade ago in a post that I thought at the time was way over the top, but turned out to be rather prescient. Several Great Lakes cities that are smaller than Buffalo have conserved entire big lake freighters that some become major waterfront attraction. Like the grain elevators, lake freighters were a signature element of the Buffalo waterfront, so why not us? On top of that, the effort to save Bethlehem Steel headquarters building was an abject failure. There were some very good, very dedicated people involved, but where were the elected officials and the tourism officials and economic development officials whose job should have been to recognize what could have been created there and go to bat for it? So why aren't we doing this? How can we be so small-minded about our big heritage? Ironically, as big as we once were, and despite all of the big things we once did, we no longer seem to be big enough to conserve what's left and properly show it off. For one, deindustrialization and depopulation left us too poor. In today's winner-take-all innovation economy, big cities are continually draining away our best and brightest, leaving us struggling to find and retain the talent and leadership we need to do big things. in similar fashion, a critical element to creating a major railroad museum in Buffalo may be state involvement. That would not be unprecedented. There are other states in which have played much smaller roles. What would it take for that to happen? Having a prominent champion would help, and so would a feasibility study. That was essential to advancing the National Comedy Center in Jamestown, which, with top-notch leadership, has proven to be the major attraction that its feasibility showed it could be in a place with far fewer resources to draw from than Buffalo. This summer's visit by Big Boy has given us a fresh, tantalizing glimpse into the economic impact that rail heritage would have on our region, which has almost an embarrassment of rail heritage riches. If Big Boy steam whistles and the cheers and claps in response could be interpreted as a language, this is what you would hear. If you build it, we will come. We will come back, and we will bring our kids and our friends and our relatives and our fellow rail fans, and we will bring our wallets and our hungry bellies to eat in your restaurants, and after a long day, we will rest in your hotels and maybe stay an extra day to see some of your other attractions. So let's get busy chugging after those visitors and the impact they would have on our city and region. We don't need to take a survey to tell us what 20,000 people just told us, loud and clear, as the Big Boy's reverberating whistle said, "We want trains." You are listening to a reading of articles and features from Buffalo Rising on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. This appeared today in Buffalo Rising. Long Way Home, 40 Years of the Goo Goo Dolls. Long Way Home explores Goo Goo Dolls' rise from local Buffalo venues to international acclaim. Buffalo's favorite hometown hero band, the Goo Goo Dolls, will be honored in a very special way this fall. On September 17th, the Buffalo History Museum will pay tribute to the band as it rolls out an exhibit laden with instruments, photographs, posters, memorabilia, and stories of the band's rise to fame. Long Way Home explores the band's rise from Buffalo's local venues to international acclaim through instruments, photographs, posters, memorabilia, and stories of the cities and community that shaped their early years. When people think of Buffalo, they think of the Bills, chicken wings, weather, and the Goo Goo Dolls. That says a lot for the band, which never forgot about the city that always held them high upon a pedestal. Similarly, the band never once wavered in demonstrating its appreciation for its hometown fans. Bass player Robbie Takac calls Buffalo home and has made it his mission to help young Western New York musicians rise through the ranks. From forming high school bands to playing local clubs to being showcased at Music is Art Saturday, September 12th from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Now it's time to get to know the band on a more intimate level. Get ready as the Buffalo History Museum prepares to take a deep dive into the life and times of the Goo Goo Dolls coming September 17th. Current and new members will have access to a registration for members only preview of Long Way Home, 40 Years of the Goo Goo Dolls, before the exhibit opens to the public. Member preview night is Wednesday, September 16th. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the exhibit is open until 9 p.m. This article also appeared on the August 17th issue of the Buffalo Rising. Groundwork Market Garden to construct a permanent community barn. Food for All 2026 fundraising celebration at Klein Hands Music Hall will support a new community barn pavilion on Buffalo's east side. Groundwork Market Garden, a 2-acre USDA certified organic urban farm located on the east side, is getting ready to embark on another successful decade of growing wholesome food in an urban environment. For its next stage of development, GWMG will be raising funds that will be earmarked for the construction on a permanent community barn pavilion at its home at 1698 Genesee Street. On Friday, November 20th, the community is invited to attend Food for All 2026, which is being hosted by GWMG and its nonprofit partner, Fair Share Western New York. The event, to be held at Klein Hands Music Hall, will celebrate a decade of growing food as well as the next chapter in this wholesome, ever-growing story. Food for All 2026 will bring together more than 300 community members, supporters, partners, elected officials, food system leaders, and advocates to celebrate what has built over the past 10 years and help launch Groundwork's next chapter. Over the course of the last 10 years, GWMG has become a hub for organic produce on the East Side. It's also become a community hub in general, with a dedicated farm stand and Tuesday evening gatherings throughout the summer featuring garden flow yoga, pizza by Andrew, and refreshments from the Cider Project. The addition of the permanent barred pavilion will allow the farm to do what it does best while providing a weatherproof location for expanded year-round offerings. The key goals of the expansion are community gathering, creating dedicated spaces for neighbors to connect, share knowledge, and host family-friendly events. Educational workshops, providing hands-on learning opportunities focused on sustainable urban gardening and soil health. Food security, supporting local neighborhood revitalization and increasing fresh produce available on Buffalo's East Side. When we started Groundwork 10 years ago, our goal was to grow good food in our neighborhood, said Maida Pozantidis, co-founder and owner of Groundwork Market Garden. Over the years, the farm has become so much more than that. It has become a place where people shop, learn, volunteer, share meals, and build relationships. This pavilion is an investment in making sure there's a permanent space for work to continue and grow for the next decade. The new pavilion will provide a permanent, weather-protected home for the Groundworks Farmers Market, educational programming, volunteer projects, workshops, and community gatherings. At this stage of the game, New York State Urban Farms and Community Gardens Grant Program have dedicated $30,000 towards the overarching goal of $50,000. The goal for Food for All 2026 is to raise $20,000, which will signal the green light for the new barn pavilion project. Aside from the new barn, GWMG has also embarked on the Leslie Street Community Garden. Five formerly vacant lots across the street are being transformed into space for growing food, learning, gathering, and connecting with neighbors. It's easy to see that GWMG is making some remarkable advancement when it comes to providing more food security for urban neighborhoods that have been deemed food deserts for far too long. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from Buffalo Rising on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. 2026 Scarecrow Trail at the Botanical Gardens. The Botanical Gardens has come up with a fun new way for all of us to enjoy the fall season. This year they are introducing a Scarecrow Trail to their event lineup, which sounds like it's going to be the perfect set for a spooky good time. It is interesting to note that the scarecrows of record were created by the Egyptians to protect their wheat fields along the Nile River. Many other cultures utilized the scarecrow to defend their crops. Each culture had their own distinctive decorative customs and distinctions. From utilizing actual people to scare off critters, to dressing up scarecrows in togas. Of course, when we think about scarecrows in general, it's hard not to recall watching The Wizard of Oz. And while the character in that film was jovial, more often than not, we tend to think of the scary nature of scarecrows. That's particularly thanks to DC Comics' The Scarecrow, who first appeared in comic books in September of 1941. It's also due to scarecrows being heavily linked to Halloween. As for scientific reasons, we look to scarecrows as being scary due to their uncanny valley effect. which means that we view them in a strange, emotionally charged way. They look human, but they are certainly not human. Our minds have a hard time coming to grips that this human-looking form is so lifeless and alone. Therefore, we deem it as scary. These days, farmers use high-tech forms of critter deterrence, such as automated lasers. That means that scarecrows are more nostalgic rather than utilitarian. Thankfully, the Botanical Gardens understands that people still possess a strong emotional connection to scarecrows, whether it's due to their whimsical nature, their scary appearance, or their individualistic artistic flair. Regardless of the reasons that we feel so drawn to scarecrows, we simply cannot escape a certain fascination that emotionally binds us to them. Experience this fun-filled feature exhibit, dozens of show-stopping scarecrows of all shapes and sizes that make for a must-see exhibit this fall. Cozy up inside our conservatory, enjoy a family-friendly day out complete with the beautiful scenes of our vibrant plant collections and special seasonal displays of mums, ghosts, and more scarecrow surprises, says the Botanical Gardens. The family-friendly Scarecrow Trail will be open for viewing from September 19th to November 2nd. This article first appeared on August 3rd. Placemaking projects in downtown and at the waterfront. Buffalo Urban Development Corporation, in partnership with the City of Buffalo, Buffalo Place, and funding partners from the M&T Bank Charitable Foundation, have officially unveiled a series of placemaking projects downtown and along the waterfront. The placemaking projects include painted crosswalks, street furniture, planters, and wayfinding. In recent months, the BUDC and its consultant team, MIG Incorporated, Highland Planning, and Lou Engineers, and partners at the City of Buffalo, engaged local stakeholders, businesses, and the public to come up with some key urbanist installations that are designed to make Buffalo more walkable and more enjoyable. BUDC's placemaking project involves three placemaking installations. Roosevelt Plaza, closing and painting Genesee Street between Main and Huron Streets to allow for expanded seating and programming. Also, new lighting, colorful furniture, and planters. Commercial Street and Marine Drive next to Explore and More Children's Museum, enhancing the crosswalks and bicycle lanes, adding colorful jerseys, jersey pairings, and intersection street mural. Michigan Street near Broadway within the Michigan Street African American Heritage Corridor traffic calming elements, colorful crossing enhancements, plantings, and sidewalk painting. The project will include restoration of the iconic African American Heritage Corridor. This innovative community-driven initiative between BUDC, the City of Buffalo, Buffalo Place, area small businesses, partners at M&T Charitable Foundation, and a whole host of incredible local volunteers looks to improve the quality of downtown's public realm in a creative and highly visible way through placemaking that elevates downtown Buffalo, said Brandi Merriweather, BUDC president. A vibrant downtown does not happen by accident. We have to create public spaces where people want to walk, gather, spend time, and support local businesses, Mayor Sean Ryan said. These projects, along with recent placemaking work in Niagara Square, show how thoughtful improvements and creativity to public spaces can bring new energy to downtown. I want to thank BUDC, Buffalo Place, and the M&T Charitable Foundation, and all the businesses, volunteers, and community members who worked with the city to bring these projects to life. Projects like this demonstrate how thoughtful investments and strong partnerships can transform public spaces and connect communities, said Don Ellick, Senior Vice President, M&T Charitable Foundation Regional Manager. M&T Bank is proud to support this effort, and we're grateful to our employees, volunteers who contributed to their time to make this project a reality.
Good morning. Welcome to another broadcast day in the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service.